morning, Cascadia. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO, Portland, Oregon, 90.7 FM. Today is Monday, June 29th, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia. Long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm William Delta.
Iraq declares tomorrow pullout day, a national holiday. The celebrations have already begun.
President Obama's climate legislation squeaks past weak-kneed Democrats.
And the great healthcare debate continues. Where's Ron Wyden?
Portland area weather today, sunny with a high near 78. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 54. And then another beautiful day tomorrow.
First, we go to headlines from around Cascadia. And to kick things off, my guest this morning is Tim Hermack with the Native Forest Council. Tim is here to debunk completely, totally, down to the ground, the greenwash hokum of biomass from so-called waste in forests. Good morning, Tim, and thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Well, talk about this biomass. I saw it. I read it. We had some stories on it last week. The idea is that we're going to have all this wonderful green energy because we're going to go out and we're going to use all the waste wood. And we can get this in, from the forests or from old sawmills and perhaps the new sawmills that will be grinding up our forests as a result of the roads that they are going to punch through public and private lands to get their hands on so-called waste. Nothing in the forest is wasted. Talk a little bit about this biomass scam.
Nearly 30 years ago, one of the Oregon State scientists, Chris Mazur, wrote a book about mining the soils, how everything above ground originally came from below ground, the minerals, the carbon, et cetera, et cetera. We have been strip mining the forests of their trees. And forests aren't just trees, they're also topsoil. The forests are the engine of production that produce the soil, air, and water that create the climate and weather that we depend on for life. People talk about saving the planet. The planet will still be here, but we people won't if we continue our morally corrupt, idiotic, self-destructive ways based on avarice, greed, waste, fraud, and abuse. Unfortunately, people think Democrats are our friends. The Republicans are not. Well, when you follow the money, you find out that capitalists, the people that have accumulated most of the money on earth, corporations, run our country. The foundations that support many of our green community fund things that are against the environment. This energy bill that just passed is a tragedy. In most ways, it makes things worse. It encourages even further forest liquidation. And if you follow the Lorax, they want to bigger and bigger and bigger. And as Teddy Roosevelt said 100 years ago, these corporations have no morals. They will lie, cheat, steal, and even worse, to make more money. And they will take the last tree under one stupid but good-sounding reason or another, if we let them. There were only two green groups of any size that opposed this energy bill, and that was Greenpeace and Friends of the Earth, to their credit, standing tall, telling the truth, and staying true to their mission. The rest of them, all Democratic Party lapdogs, environmental groups acting more like lapdogs or front groups for the Democratic Party, allowed Pelosi and Reid to ram through, with Obama's help, an abomination of a bill that allows things to continue getting worse. Subsidies for nuclear, subsidies for coal, subsidies for biomass production. Burning up our families, our grandmother is not biomass. These trees are not biomass, they're the lungs of the planet. Sierra Club, Audubon, Wilderness Society, Wildlife Federation, Nature Conservancy, and even Oregon Wild, who used to be Oregon Natural Resources Council, supported it. They oppose Whopper, but they support doubling or tripling the logging because Wyden and DeFazio support it. Who runs who? Wilberforce, Bullitt Foundation, Ford Foundation, the Packard Foundation, few charitable trusts, all support green alternative energy production when it's black as hell.
You're right. Tim, thank you so much for that. I stepping outside my role as a journalist, I completely concur. We want to talk more about this biomass greenwashing. It's the biggest lie to come down the pike all year, and it deserves to be looked long and hard at. Thank you so much for that. My guest today has been Tim Hermack with the Native Forest Council. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you.
And here's a case. Got wood, make logs. According to a local official, a proposed Joco Biomass Production Center in Grants Pass could create rural jobs and energy independence by producing fireplace logs from compressed wood materials. Alas, those wood materials are the stuff that future forests are made of, unless, of course, global warming turns Cascadia into a desert, and then we'll all burn.
The Burns Paiute Reservation, Oregon's smallest, by year's end will have installed energy-efficient light bulbs and weatherproofing in each of its 54 homes. Tribal Housing Director Jody Hill says many aging members are on fixed incomes and the project will cut energy bills. State housing officials say other tribes, including the Warm Springs, will begin weatherization programs this year.
At the base of Cougar Dam, construction crews are building a sophisticated trap-and-haul facility that will allow the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to truck salmon to the upper reaches of the South Fork of the McKenzie River. With all the concrete being poured, it's hard to picture the goal, completing the life cycle for a fish that once had the run of the rivers. The pre-dam McKenzie River was salmon heaven. It produced about 40% of the entire Spring Chinook run above Willamette Falls. It's the semi-trailer express to extinction.
Yeah, salmon on trucks.
Yeah.
That's like the forests, the horizontal forests on trucks. Don't say you weren't warned. There's even a movie or two out there, but people still buy feedlot beef products, and until they stop buying it, somebody, somewhere, will keep on selling it. Case in point, a Colorado company that pulled more than 41,000 pounds of beef last week extended its recall today to include 380,000 pounds over fears that it's contaminated with a potentially deadly strain of E. coli. Sure, it's cheap food until you get the hospital bill.
It's a sad day for Oregon when teachers have to complain that their school embraces racial hatred, and in the state's capital, no less. But employees of Stevens Middle School claim school leaders tolerate a culture of racial jokes among staff members and in front of students. Stevens Middle School serves about 960 students, of whom about 65% are minorities. Two discrimination complaints obtained by the Salem Statesman Journal claim administrators gave wide latitude to some staffers who made racist remarks even the students found inappropriate.
We don't usually do manslaughter trials, but you need to hear this. 15-year-old Ava Worthington dies of treatable pneumonia last year because her parents, Carl and Raylene Worthington, belong to the Followers of Christ Church, whose members shun doctors in favor of spiritual healing. The church has been investigated in the past for child deaths. The trial starts today. The parents are no doubt hoping that even if God doesn't approve of doctors, he's a little looser when it comes to lawyers.
Hear that, North Korea? That's American firepower. The Air Force says it has successfully launched an unarmed Minuteman III intercontinental ballistic missile from a California base, firing it to targets in the Pacific Ocean. This is a short item, and the finale might be even shorter.
Yeah, it was a total coincidence. Let's just test it out over the Pacific Ocean towards, how about North Korea?
No.
You could call it success if the prize were marginally worth the fight. Nonetheless, President Obama, leaning heavily on Democratic holdouts, managed to win their needed support for the first energy legislation. In theory, the legislation is designed to curb global warming. But come on, cap and trade, the law doesn't go nearly far enough, fast enough to save us from our own catastrophic greed, but then again, it wasn't designed to. It's disaster capitalism at its finest.
In a burst of racist exuberance not seen since Reconstruction, the Supreme Court ruled 5-4, guess which five and which four, in favor of white firefighters in a job discrimination case. Sonia Sotomayor is involved, so it will get interesting. The court gets better marks for its decision today not to stop a school in Washington State from blocking formation of a Bible club on campus. Separation of church and state finally wins in a post-Bush world.
How often does that happen in any world? Last week, the debate on health care, Royal Capitol Hill and K Street, especially K Street, I imagine. Regents rates have increased 26% quite recently, and they're due to go up. Brace yourself if you have Regents Blue Cross Blue Shield health coverage, if you have any at all. It's due to shoot up another 15%. In July, independent journalist David Rosenfeld with the Lund Report is with us this morning to talk triggers, co-ops, and attempts to determine the whereabouts of our own Senator Ron Wyden on the issue of health care. Good morning, David. Thank you so much for being with us.
Hi, Chris. That's a lot of ground to cover.
Yeah, it is.
So on the first thing, on the Regents rate increase, we reported this at thelundreport.org about a rate increase on individual health plans that took effect last July was opposed by an attorney who represented one member of the health plan, Karen Kirsch, and it's taken a whole year for this process to happen, and at the end of it, a judge has simply upheld the rate increase. And throughout this time, Regents had also applied for another rate increase that's going to take effect this next month for anyone that has to re-up their plan throughout the year. You'll see another 15% increase on the individual plans. And if you might be heading into another age bracket that determines your rate, you could be looking at, you know, up to 40% increase in just 1 year. So this is the type of thing that obviously, you know, the private health insurance industry has been doing to people for a long time. And, we're taking on this issue at the national level, of course, and one of the primary issues is this public health plan option. And Senator Ron Wyden has gone out this weekend on additional town hall meetings and is, again, talking about this maintaining a private health insurance system. He's not really in favor of the public option. He's definitely not talking about it with any sort of support or, emphasis. And he is just really wedded to maintaining private health insurance.
David, thank you. We won't have time to get into the issue of the of triggers and co-ops. John Kerry, I believe you mentioned earlier this morning to me when we were speaking, is bringing up the idea of a trigger that would kick in 10 years. We really don't have time to fool around. But let's talk about let's save that topic for tomorrow, and I want to thank you so much for being with us here today. That, of course, was independent journalist David Rosenfeld with the LundReport.org. Thank you so much for that, David.
Thanks,
Chris. Iraq has declared tomorrow a national holiday. They're planning festivals to mark the end of the U.S. presence on the streets and towns of its cities. In 6 years, the largely American force reduced a nation that was thriving, even under crippling sanctions, to rubble. The big day tomorrow is widely hailed as a return to sovereignty by Iraqi officials. They've maintained sometimes difficult relations with the U.S. military throughout the occupation, and the celebratory mood has angered some senior U.S. officials and military commanders.
They're not happy about the big party. Well, yesterday there was a coup. I mean, many people probably have already learned of this. There is a coup in Honduras. The Portland Central America Committee and members of the Honduran community here in Portland are gathering today to speak out against the military coup that deposed their democratic government in Honduras. There is a rally today at 12:30. It's at the Federal Building. The Federal Building is, as we know, is at 1220 Southwest 3rd Avenue. And if you can make it down there to support your brothers and sisters in Honduras, then that would be a really good way to spend lunch hour. So try and make it down there to the Federal Building at 12:30. Hear people speaking about what happened. This involves, of course, the School of the Americas, a notorious School of the Americas. And we want to watch this event very carefully and closely over the next few days.
This has been Headlines and Commentary from Air Cascadia for Monday, June 29th, 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Engineering is Tammy Dean. The interim KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Trillium Shannon, sitting in for Kathleen Stevenson on sabbatical. And I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM. Your support and your support only keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
Coming up next, If You Love This Planet, Dr. Caldicott talks to Lester Brown of the Earth Policy Institute on the precarious world food situation and other threats to humanity.
Thanks for listening and have a good day.
Support for NPR comes from the Pew Charitable Trusts, helping states protect public safety, hold offenders accountable, and control the cost of corrections at pewpublicsafety.org.